Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll turn to Romans 15:13 after that. Father, I just thank you that you are the one source, the one place we can turn to. There is no other that can do what you can do. We just praise you. You are our rock, and you are our solid ground that we can stand on. We thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for all of us who have been gathered here. Just pray for your blessing over this word. I pray for your blessing over each one of our hearts, Lord, as we partake of your word. And I pray for those, Lord, who are down in Mexico and who are traveling even this hour. I pray, Lord, for your safety over them. Some people are going on to family and friends, maybe in other states, other cities. Just pray that you just shelter them and keep them, Lord, and shield them along their journeys. And let them have a blessing, Lord, as they go. And let them be a blessing also, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your presence, Lord, over each of us and in each of us. We give you praise. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present with us right now, Lord, and will speak to us and touch us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 13. There are many places in the New Testament, especially where Paul writes his letters, that he writes what is, I guess you'd call it a blessing. He's speaking a blessing over those that he's writing to. And this is one of those verses, but I want to take from the verse that we're about to read and just look at an important characteristic of God and also the key to joy and peace and why we have a hope. Let's read it together. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse tells us something about God. It says that God is a God of hope. It calls him the God of hope. He's not a God of failure. He's not a God of despair. He's not a God of uncertainty. He's a God of hope. And if you know anything about the Greek word hope, it's not something like, I hope it happens. It's something that you anticipate. You know it's going to happen, right? So he's the God of certainty. Something that we know is going to happen. Something that we know that we can hold on to just as both of those songs. It's just like, wow, okay, Lord, I see you're giving me a witness here. He's a God, he's a rock, you know, it's awesome. Anyway, there's two aspects of hope that I want to look at just real briefly. One is that he is the God of hope in any situation, present day situation. We probably won't have to turn to that. Most everybody should know Romans 8:28. For God, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Amen. God can take any situation, any disastrous situation, it doesn't matter what it is, and he can turn it around for good. And we have that hope, no matter what we're going through. I mean, this verse is something that sustains so many people in so many times. I mean, there's just, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's a sickness, cancer, whatever, that one verse has sustained so many believers because it's not talking about the verse, it's talking about the God who spoke that verse. He can change this for his good. Not for our good, well, it's for our good, but it's according to his purposes. He can make this something glorious. He can change this chaos into something orderly and wonderful. Any situation, he is the God of hope. But he's also the God of hope, our hope of eternity. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, talks about this hope that we have through God that He's given us. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." It's a living hope. Something that is real. It's abiding. And it's living in us. "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable." This is the hope that we have. "And undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." This verse pretty much blows away you're losing your salvation. He's protecting you. He's got that body, resurrection body waiting for you. He's got that place in heaven already reserved for you. And you are being protected by Him. Not you. You're not keeping yourself saved. You can't keep yourself saved. You couldn't do it for the life of you. He's our hope. He's our rock. You're standing on that solid ground. Amen? He's our hope. And it's a hope that is sure and steadfast. We anticipate it. We can wait, knowing that it's going to happen. We have a living hope that'll never fade away. Amen? And because of our God of hope, who's given it to us. He is the God of hope. Who else could have executed a plan that would satisfy His righteousness and yet at the same time give pardon to sinful, wicked people like us? And who else could make chaos, make order out of chaos? He's the God of hope. If you look back at Romans 15, it talks about this hope fill you with, this God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Our joy and our peace is linked to the hope we have in God, our trusting in God. When you're in a situation that is a difficulty or a despairing situation, just to know that you have hope, that this is going to be all right, things are going to turn out all right, can change that situation, can change your heart in the midst of that situation, I should say, can release you from the fear and from the sadness that you feel in the midst of that situation. If you're on your deathbed almost, and you know that you're going to be better the next day, you're not going to be so, the family and you aren't going to be so despairing, are they? They're going to be rejoicing. Tomorrow He's going to be walking around. You have hope. If you have hope in a situation, you can hold on to it, and you can go on through it, knowing that it's going to be all right. That's why He's a God of hope for us, because we trust in Him, because we hold on to Him, because we know that He can change this. We know that He can work it for His glory. We know even if it doesn't change, we have a living hope of eternity. We have peace and we have joy. We can walk right through it. Amen. He's the God of hope. Jesus left us with some words about peace and joy that I'd like to look at. If you'll turn to John chapter 14. Hello. Let's see if I can find where I had all these things marked in here. John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. Excuse me. Seafood gumbo. Good. Anyway. I had to add food in there somewhere. Nathan always does, right? Sorry, Nathan. If you hear this anytime later. Verse 27, chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor be fearful. What is the basis of this peace that he can give to us, that he leaves with us? Look at chapter 16, verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have tough times. You're going to have people coming against you. You're going to have all kinds of troubles in this world. You cannot escape it, is what he's saying. But take courage. I have overcome the world. That overcoming power that he had, the power with which he overcame the world with all these difficult situations. He's passed all through it says in Hebrews. And he's able to help those who are in need. Because he's gone through it and he's already overcome it. He can pass that victory on to us in our hearts. It's that peace. The peace that knows that the God who has overcome is on our side and is with us and taking us through. And he's got the situation in his hands. My peace I leave with you, he says. Then he talks about some joy. Chapter 15. Verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. I should have told you to hold your finger there, because I have to look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, talks about we who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have that living hope, right? In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Jesus said we're going to go through trials, isn't that right? That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's a joy that is rooted in a God of hope. That's what it is. You don't see him, but you know. You know that he's waiting for you and he's coming back for you to take you back to where he is. You know you have that hope. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials and tribulations you're facing, no matter what kind of persecutions you're going through, you have that hope. And that brings you through. That brings you through. You know you're coming out on the other side, and the poor people who are persecuting you are the ones that are going to have the last troubles. And you're going to be laughing and smiling and rejoicing. Amen? It's not over yet. You can tell them it's not over yet. You can kill me, but it's not over. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans 15. The key to being filled with the joy and peace is believing, it says. Now I guess I better turn to Romans 15 too. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing who? Believing in the God of hope. As you trust in him, you're filled with that joy and you're filled with that peace. I want to look at Psalms chapter 33. God is moved to help those who trust in him. That's what it says here. We'll look at it. Psalms chapter 33, verse 16. To verse 21 is what I'm going to be reading. It says, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. 2 weeks ago, we studied about Gideon. You remember that, Brandon? Did they win by a mighty army? How many were there? 300 men beat an army of, I forgot what it was, 120,000 or something like that. I think it was comes out to be 120,000 people were overcome by 300 people. It wasn't a mighty army that overcame. It was God that overcame, right? King is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope or trust, wait for His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Our trust is linked to our joy and then also our peace because we know that He's there to help us. Amen. And also knowing also that hope that we have, our hope in God, becomes, I guess you could say, a source of energy for us too. In Isaiah 40:31 it says, "Yet those who wait, who hope for the Lord, hope in the Lord, will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." That hope becomes a source of energy. Have you? I know I don't do it much anymore. My ankle's kind of messed up, but I used to run like a few miles a day way back. It's been a while back, as you can tell. But you're running along and you're running along. And boy, it comes to a time when you're just like, oh, man, I just want to stop. I mean, you just feel that way. I mean, you might get a cramp here, you know, or you get a cramp up in your side. And you're just like, oh, man, I just can't go on anymore. I'm just going to call it a day, you know. But then you think, man, I'm only like about a mile away from that goal. I'm only about a mile away. I can keep going. Because you start looking to the goal. You start looking to the end of it. And you start, and all of a sudden, you just gain this energy because you know that it's not too far away. And by the time you're just I used to always sprint out the last, I don't know how much, quarter mile or whatever. I'd sprint it out. And it's like, where does that energy come from? You know? But you know that you're almost done. You see? You're almost done. You're almost at the end of it. You have a hope that you're finally almost to your goal. You get what I mean? It's a correlation here. That hope all of a sudden becomes an energy factor to you. And our hope in God, to have that hope, to know that He is bringing us through, to know that we have that eternal life, eternal place in heaven waiting for us, can take us through anything and energize us in the midst of it. We just have to trust in our hope, which is our Lord, our God. Amen? Now, God doesn't leave us stranded on this earth trying to hope in our own strength, in an ideology or a philosophy. There's something that He's given us to enable us to hope in Him and to believe in Him and to be able to trust in Him. If you'll go back to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, I believe it'll tell us the answer to that, what it is. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to hope, to be filled with joy and peace. Words, philosophies, are just not enough for humans. If I tell you about this certain fruit that I used to eat in Japan, of course, probably all of you have probably seen it, but if I tell you about it, you're just not going to quite understand it. You're not going to quite grasp. It's called a kaki. I'm going to tell you in Japanese because if I tell you in English, at least some of you may have experienced it. It's a sort of an orange fruit. And it has a very sweet taste.
I don't know how to explain it to you, but it really tastes good. Do you guys have the concept of it now? No. We humans have to experience something to really be able to comprehend it and to be able to understand it. God knows that. He knows that an unseen God is kind of hard for us to fathom. That's right. So He sent His Holy Spirit to live in us so that we can experience Him. So that we can experience Him with us. We may not see Him, but we know. Because He makes Himself real to us through His Holy Spirit. Amen? You would have never believed in God if the Holy Spirit was not sent on your heart to convince you that He's real. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to convince, to convict the world of righteousness, judgment, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You got to be convinced of the fact that it's when you come in contact with the Holy God. You didn't see Him, but all of a sudden you're just laid bare before Him and you realize, man, I'm a sinner. And until you realized you were a sinner, you didn't know you needed help. But that very same God, that very same Holy Spirit that caused you to understand sin in yourself, the wickedness of yourself, also showed the love of God to you. And you were able to believe in the message that Jesus died for that sin. It was the Holy Spirit. It's because you experienced the Holy Spirit. God knew that words were not enough for you. You needed His presence. So He sent it to you so that you could have, so you could believe in Him, so that you could believe in His words. It's neat, isn't it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14 again. That will back up what I was just saying about us being able to, us experiencing God or God being in us through His Holy Spirit. Of course, most people already understand that. I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, I think. He said, in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you a helper, that He may be with you. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not know Him, or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I mean, with Jesus, He was already there. Pretty soon He was going to be in them. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I believe He's talking about the Holy Spirit and the presence of His Spirit. After a while, the world will not see me anymore, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you, when the Holy Spirit's there. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? How is this going to be possible? Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. We're going to live in him. It's connected with that helper, the Holy Spirit that comes in. That is the presence of God in our lives. We start experiencing God the moment the Holy Spirit enters into our life. Amen. And it's through this Holy Spirit that we also experience that love. The rest of the passages are going to be in Romans, so you can just turn to Romans. Chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only this, it says. But we also exalt in our tribulations. Oh, do we really exalt in our tribulations? I complain a lot, I tell you that much. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I know oftentimes we use this as we're able to love, the power of God's love flows out through us. But I believe right here, it's talking about our experiencing God's love through the Holy Spirit in our lives, which also, of course, because He loved us first, we love, right? So, I mean, it also helps us to love because we've experienced it, so we can share it. But right here, it's talking about in the midst of all this, we know the love of God. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, His Holy Spirit is there. The love of God is shed in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. We're filled with His love. And it's because of that love that we're sustained through any situation that we're going through, because we know that He loves us and cares for us, not because of some ideology that we're trying to conjure up in our minds, but because of an experiential knowledge, because of the Holy Spirit abiding in us and always being there and comforting us, no matter what we're going through. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I could go through, I don't want to go through another thing talking about how, you know, why I got that out of there. But it's all, if you look at it in context, it's talking about us experiencing God's love through the Holy Spirit. It's because we experience it that we can hold on, that we can go through. And then in Romans chapter 8, through that Holy Spirit, we have that constant testimony, that constant witness in our hearts of our relationship as a child of God. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17, it says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You belong to me. You're mine." He always reminds us of that. We mess up, we stumble, we fail miserably, and we think, oh man, this is it. And here comes the love of God. And here comes the Holy Spirit. You belong to me. I love you. I know you messed up, but I love you. You're mine. He's constantly bearing witness in our hearts, in our spirits, that we are children of God. And if children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We have that future hope. He's always bearing witness of the fact you are God's child. You belong to God. No matter what you're going through, you belong to God. That Holy Spirit has been sent in our hearts. He didn't leave us abandoned out there. The Holy Spirit is there. We experience His love. We experience His ministering in our spirits, His comfort, His strengthening. And that gives us that ability to hope in Him. And we can hold on to God, the God of hope. And no matter what's going on around us, all we have to do is remember, our daddy is here. Amen? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you've reminded me once again of your greatness, your solidness, and of how much you care and how much you're present in every situation that we're going through, and how much you're able, Lord, to take care of every need and every situation. Once again, I want to entrust my life and all, Lord, that I pass through and experience. I want to entrust it in your hands, your great hands, because nothing's impossible with you. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us has been reminded. And if we pass through anything, Lord, whether it's good or bad, whether sad or happy, we can always continue on in that hope in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.